Blog Talk Radio.
Today is the day to celebrate. Yesterday is also great, and tomorrow to change your fate. If you want God's gift, it's not too late.
Thank you for your gift, Jesus. It was nailed to a tree. It was decorated by your blood so this earth can be set free. Emmanuel, the gift of God, love filled your little heart. God was wrapped in flesh, salvation to impart. Gifts were brought to you at birth. I wonder if you cried. Did you know then that you would be crucified? You came to decorate the world with the gospel of your peace. The poor, the brokenhearted will find a sweet release. Thank you for your gift, Jesus. It was nailed to a tree. It was decorated by your blood so this earth will be delivered by the wonder of your birth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, has the power to change the earth. Jesus' birth, life and death, and for sure his resurrection. Let's turn to him with all our hearts. Receive the gift. He gives the gift of the Holy Ghost. His Spirit lives inside. Open up your gift right now. You will be his bride. Jesus Christ, the tree of life, the light that shines so bright. Jesus, the Lamb of God, born in Bethlehem that night. Gifts were brought to you at birth. I wonder if you cried. Did you know then, Jesus, that you would be crucified? Emmanuel, the gift of God, love filled your little heart. God was wrapped in flesh, salvation to impart. Jesus Christ, the tree of life, the light that shines so bright. Jesus, the Lamb of God, born in Bethlehem that night. Everywhere, we have the same ability. Thank you for your gift, Jesus. It was nailed to a tree. It was decorated by your blood so this earth can be set free.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight we're going to continue in The Woolly Worm on Chapter 20. As you know, the author of this book is Sister Bobbi Lively. She is reading and making comments in her book as we have been working through it for several weeks. We have gone chapter by chapter to give you an exceptional listening experience. Last week we gave her the night off, and we brought to you the great, a great message from Pastor Kenneth Carpenter. As with all of the other chapters of the book, we have brought you a song from Sister Lively's album each week to start the show. Tonight we brought you the song from her album, Jesus the Gift. This song fits into the Christmas season. As always, you're invited to ask a question or make a comment at the end of the show. Just push the number 1 on your phone and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. And now let's hear from our very own Blog Talk Mom.
Well, I'm not sure.
Hello?
I'm sure about
that last statement. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Actually, this has been a very unusual day, and I want to thank you and Wild Bill for giving me the opportunity to do the program and for the encouragement and the prayers that I know that you join with me, that at this time, my very young, almost 83 years, it is a great privilege to be able to do this on your Blog Talk program. The book, The Woolly Worm, is a very unusual, I guess anything that you write is going to make you look at different parts and times and seasons of your life, especially when most of the book is about something that has really impressed me or just delighted me, to find out how God uses everything in our life for good. He never falls short of his love. And tonight, we had our midweek service on Tuesday evening instead of Wednesday. And I knew it was about adoption, but I didn't know how beautifully wonderful it would be. And as they talked about adoption and about how many needs there are for children to be adopted and all of the handicaps of every part of it, but the love of God flowing through every situation, the testimony of this one young man of how he had put a prayer request in at a church that he needed the funding to be able to adopt because it cost quite a bit of money. And they put all of the different prayer requests in. It was just something that they did in that church. For the following week, they chose one, and everybody focused on that, and they would pray. It was his. It was his request. And they had no way of knowing that he was going to receive a large amount of money that was going to be donated to him so that he could move forward in adopting. And it was beautiful how it wasn't easy. No part of what he was saying was easy. It took prayer. It took being willing to not know which way something was going to work out. And we all know that at those points in time and seasons, the enemy can attack us and make us have really bad feelings and sad feelings. And it seems that, as many people brought out, the holiday season is a season where people are very vulnerable to feeling left out or alone, or that someone that they love dearly may be deceased because of COVID or other things. And the loneliness, the feeling of missing that individual, all of these things, they're real. We can't just, now the world, they may listen to the enemy and try to cover it up with drugs or alcohol or other kind of things like that. But God offers us a place in him. And over and over they brought out tonight, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if we'll believe. And you know, Christmas is like the enemy can come in and he can deceive. He came into the garden of our history, of God's creation. He lied. He is an imitator. He knows how to try to substitute real love with artificial types of feelings that will end in more despair. It's just everybody's familiar with these thoughts, and I'm not really getting away from the title of the chapter of The Woolly Worm. Chapter 20 is abide in Jesus. And you could spend
one of us in our own prayer time, in our own quiet time with God, and dwell on what abide really is for us with God. We abide in the very presence of the Creator of the whole world. We choose to abide with Him, and He abides with us. That peace that passes all understanding, the fruit that bears, that comes forth because the Spirit of God has been given to us as a great gift from God, His Spirit within us, that will bear fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. We can't say this too many times. Goodness. God gives us these things. We bear this fruit because we are connected to Him. We abide in Jesus. We abide in Him, and He abides in us. And it's available. It is available. Now, all of the other types of really satanic magic, other things that are connected to Christmas, Christians need to not get be a part of that. No one really should, but especially someone that knows Jesus. And like in the little song that God gave me to share, He's the gift. A gift that was going to be nailed to a cross. Nailed to a cross. A young man, 33 years old. Everything that was going to happen to him, the blood that poured out of him was to wash away our sin. There's no greater gift than the love of God, to abide in that, dwell upon that, and to praise Him and worship Him. So in this 20th chapter, I'm going to begin to read basically from, actually from the book. The book is going to be available more. Ingram Spark and Amazon will have the book, but you can get it free, listen to it on Spotify. I would prefer you listen to it and recommend it from this blog program, because I feel the support, the everything about it is the richest part of ever being able to do the book audio. And I believe that there will be things said that, especially I've heard from many friends, that when blog talk ends it starts to open mic, and Wild Bill comes on, begins to put the icing on the cake, the things he says deeply, deeply minister to people. And so I would want that to be available on other things, but it is on your place on the Woolly Worm for Blog Talk Radio. So this, again, is Abide in Jesus. The branch of the vine, beginning on the first paragraph, now you visualize a vine. The branch doesn't worry about, you know, how am I going to bear fruit, you know, or it's not trying to rush here and there to, oh, I've got to go get sunshine, or well, I've got to go somewhere and find rain. It abides in union and communion with the vine. And at the right time and in the right way, the fruit will be found on it. Now, this is an exact picture. If we will abide in the Creator of the world, He has designed. He is the power. He is the love, the joy, the everything about the way He designed the Word of God for us to go to it, to walk in it, to stand in it, to breathe it, to receive it, to share it, to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. All of these elements come together when we abide in Him. Don't go behind Him or in front of Him. Abide in the Lord. Just waiting upon Him. How many verses do we have? Wait on the Lord, and you'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. Abide in the Lord. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now this is God promising us what will happen if we abide. Now you say, well, I've asked God. I abide with him and I've asked God for this or that or whatever. But that's not truly abiding. Abiding is to ask what God would want us to ask in accordance with his word. Ask and we will receive. But ask because we are abiding with him. If I'm in my car and I'm out of gasoline, then I need to pull over to a station and fill up my tank, right? So when we get in a situation in our life and we feel drained and there's all of these pressures and they're real, wait on the Lord. Talk to him. Well, in the recovery class this evening, many of them testified about how they wake up. When they wake up, they begin to talk with the Lord right then. And isn't that beautiful? Begin the day. Begin everything we do by abiding in the presence of God and walking with him. That first psalm, and I quote it to myself repeatedly on any lesson that I teach, but blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's abiding in the Lord. He's not looking on 19 different avenues of information, and I'm not against information. I'm not against education. But when you look at a country that has taken the Bible out of their public school system, that is the most ridiculous act, totally contrary to why America was established. And you can read that, by the way, in third grade history. Everybody needs to get a third grade Abeka history book and read. It has really inspired me. I volunteered to work in a private school, and I'm learning so much. I think it's amazing because I'm 83, and it's been a while since I studied a lot of those things. I was privileged to give 7 or 8 tests to a young man today and in the school, and he commented a very complimentary statement about how me giving him the test was the best that for him, for, you know, the way that he receives a test. And the lady that was over the entire school heard that, and she's texting me right now that there's a storm expected, so there will not be a school class tomorrow. But she was very complimentary and encouraging on how the whole class was today. And I think the biggest reason is I was learning so much step by step as I went through it, and I see why the Lord placed me there. I want to read that scripture again. Again, I would like to recommend everyone this year, begin to journal. You don't have to write a book, but get a little notebook of some kind and begin to, each day, while you're abiding with the Lord, when he speaks something to you, journal it. And then when you look back at it, you can build on that. If, again, John 10:7, if you abide in me, this is the Lord speaking, and my words abide in you. They're there. They're resting. They're working. They're your focus. They're your balance. They're your plan. Okay. I'm sorry. That wasn't in the scripture. I'll read it again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What a beautiful resting place in the Lord. You say, well, I asked for $1 million and I didn't get it, and I really wanted it. Well, possibly if you had gotten that $1 million, you may have completely got out of the will of God. So you want to pray, what should I ask for, Lord? In this situation, lead me according to your word, according to the circumstances, according to your perfect will, that I will ask and I will receive. I guess it's been about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I had an abscess tooth, which is changing the subject here a little bit, but I had to have the dental work done. I did not have insurance, and I wanted to do it the, you know, least expensive way, and it was some hundreds of dollars that I was needing. So they worked with me, a young man that has come into our recovery class who took care of his mother and his grandmother before they deceased, and he has a real tenderness towards elderly people. And he came and handed me a check, and I looked at it, and it was enough money to completely pay off my dental bill. So to me, all I asked for was, Lord, help me be able to pay my bill. Help me to be able to get this work done that needs to be done, the poison in my system and all of the inflammation. And he did. And I that's what my testimony of the last few weeks has been, so beautiful how God has moved and met the need in every situation. And the outreach that I'm doing, that God's allowed me to do in this school and other places, there were needs to take my place in the outreach in the jails and places like that. And over, let's see, two in one situation and three ladies in another stepped forward and said, I've been wanting to do that. And now the ministry is actually growing with me not there. So God has a way if we abide in him and allow him to be the boss, be the one that leads. And he knows the predators. He knows the attack of Satan. He knows Satan's plan. And we don't, many times. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord and abide in him, he will bring us through every time. There's a lady that her stories have always been an inspiration to me. Her name is Florence Chadwick. And this lady really emphasizes, by the way, she lived her life, of how absolutely essential it is our mind stayed on the Lord. Keep our focus 100% on God. And you can read about her in Wikipedia. She began to do swimming, do different types of, all types of other kinds of inspiration for other people. She was a giver. She would help organizations that were trying to help poor people. She was just a wonderful person. But the story I want to share with you, and again, it's Florence Chadwick and Wikipedia and other books. There's many books written about her. And the beginning was on November 9th, 1918, and she lived till 1995. So she was known as an American swimmer. And she was the first woman to swim the English Channel, and she did it in both directions. I'm not a swimmer, so to me that is the most outstanding life story. Everything about it just absolutely is fascinating and inspirational. So please go to it, because I'll just touch some highlights. She made, as I mentioned, contributions to other youth groups, and she was just had a heart to give and in competition to help others to know the way to overcome whatever obstacles that they had to deal with in their life. So there was, I think on one of my audios, I didn't find it again, but it seemed like I misquoted a date. But there's many of them that she would enter a competition and she'd fail. And then she would do the same competition, but she would succeed. And then she noted and shared why she would fail. And one of the times, she's just about, I mean, she's gone through all kinds of, they had to have boats around her to keep her safe and all of the different things that she was competition. But just before she got to the end, a fog came down and she couldn't see and she panicked. Now, there was really no reason to panic because she was being watched over, as I mentioned. She already knew the exact route. She'd done it many, many times. And she was just right there before completing it. But the fog kept her from seeing the exact place that she had to see to know where she was. Now, this is how she compared this to living for God. If we don't keep our eyes on Him, then the enemy knows how to put in some type of fog, some type of obstacle, some type of hindrance, and then he distracts us, and we look to that way. And I know that you've heard stories playing, and their instruments are telling them exactly what to do, but they get this strong feeling that that's not correct. And it's noted that they've crashed the plane and into a mountain or into an ocean or whatever, and people were killed. We cannot go by our feelings. Feelings are wonderful. I love to feel the presence of God. I love to feel God when I'm studying His Word or in singing or worshiping. But it's balanced by the Word of God. When God tells us something and we have a feeling, and many, many times I feel like, well, you know, I'm just too old to do that. Now, here I'm almost 83, and I really, you know, I think I need to use wisdom. And, no, I need to follow the will of God, and that will be wisdom. Wisdom the other way would be how I figured it out or how many comparisons I put it with. Like, well, now I know that lady. She did this, and well, look what happened to her. Well, you know, no. If God wants you to do it, like I love the way I had an invitation to preach, and I didn't know what to preach. I was visiting with Wild Bill, and my daughter, Jorbells, she said, if he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it, Mom. And sure enough, I tell you what, he brought me to it, and it was one of the most inspiring for me and delightful experiences. While Bill and I, actually did the preaching, and I did a semblance of the rap, and we were working together there, and the Lord moved. It was just so beautiful, and to have Sister Starla and many of the friends that I'd had through the years were there. It was just delightful. So God did bring me to it, and he did bring me through it. And I can tell you right now, if you're hearing this now or later, if God brings you to it, if God brings you to it, abide in it. And he will bring you through it, and me, and anyone that will trust in him. So anyway, read about, if you will, about Florence Chadwick and the English Channel and her experiences there, and you will be blessed. There was this, I'm going to read this from the book. In 1952, she was the first woman to attempt to swim 26 miles. That, to me, almost seems like it's got to be a typing error or something, because 26 miles? It was between Catalina Island and the California coastline. As she began, and this is what I mentioned to you a while ago, but this will reiterate that, she was flanked by small boats, and they would watch for sharks and all kinds of other things. And after about 15 hours, that was when the fog set in, and she began to doubt her ability. Now, I'm tying this back in with my age, and when I begin to doubt my ability. Well, you know, to use wisdom. That's true. But it's not about my ability if God calls me to do it, because he will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will give me a strength that is truly a supernatural strength. He promises that in many, many scriptures, that the joy of the Lord, for one thing, is our strength. And if you're abiding in God, and I'm abiding in God, we will experience, as I mentioned, the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. Joy, the joy of the Lord. And each day, it doesn't take but just a few moments, but go back over the fruit of the Spirit. You're connected to the vine. And as I have in one of my raps, without the vine, what are the chances? You know, just stay connected. Abide in him. And I say just. Now, we do have an adversary that will try to keep us busy, even doing godly things. I heard a testimony of a lady this week, and she was just having wonderful experiences. I don't recall the exact wording. Then she got so busy, even in the work of the Lord, that she stopped that personal time with him. That personal time, what do I mean by that? Well, just think about it in our relationships with each other. We want that personal, shut in with God, but shut in with each other, where our attention is focused on what is the relationship. If it's a child, if it's your companion, we want that. We desire that, and it's powerful. It unites. And so this is what God designed us, like he did the caterpillar. He designed us for all of these things. And so we want to be obedient to it and abide in the way that he designed us to be. So there's a few scriptures here that will confirm that we must finish our course. Our heart must be fixed. Again, this is what she brought out, Florence Chadwick. She was bringing it out when she would speak. Finish your course and be fixed on what you're called to do. And the Bible says we have too much to gain to lose, right? Eternity with him, a joy that will never end, no sickness, no death, no confusion, no battle with the enemy. And we've got way too much to gain to lose. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy 4 and 7 talking about fighting. I have fought a good fight. Okay. It is. We've got the armor of God. We have a fight. I have finished my course. Okay. Staying fixed. Finishing the course God has set out. Some of it is obvious for all of us, and some is individual. I have kept the faith. Now I'm going to read it straight through. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then we want to worship. Worship is much more than just saying thank you. Gee, we should be appreciative. But worship is from the heart. Psalms 57 and 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Okay. What do I mean, my heart is fixed? Was it broken? Oh, yeah. It was broken. Was it maybe thrown to the ground and nothing, just worthless? Yeah, it was. But Almighty God, with a nail-scarred hand, picked it up and held it. He held my heart, and he healed my heart. And he gave me an experience as I was abiding in that position in his nail-scarred hand. He gave me a realization that I belong to him. I belong to him. But not only that, he belongs to me. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed, and I will sing. I can sing. Maybe not. Whatever. I will sing praise. You can't sing out of key. when you're singing praise unto your Lord. Singing is so powerful. Sing praise, Psalms 57 and 7. Amazing Grace, I don't know any song that has ever been sung as many times and as beautifully as the song Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Read the history of it. That God, amazingly, when everyone had disobeyed, all the things were going against him, they could have all been destroyed. But God, in his amazing grace, brought him through it. And I'm not going to get into the whole story on that. So then you want to pursue the goal. And this, I love this scripture, Philippians 3:14. I press, and we've quoted that tonight in church, but they didn't use the word press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I push, I hurry, all of the different things. I press. To me, that it represents me putting everything I have into it towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. I could just keep on that. If you read that and abide in that, see so many things, because we can't do it. But Christ did it for us. He overcame death, hell, and the grave, and we can abide in that overcoming power because we win. In that little chorus, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book, and we win. Hallelujah. We look diligently, lest any man fail, of the grace of God. Now, we are saved by grace. And the way we're saved by grace is through the word of God, which gives us the faith to believe in the grace and to follow the grace. Faith and grace are it's believing. And when we really believe it, then we receive it. And God's grace is sufficient. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You want to abide in that grace. Abide in it. Look at the benefits of abiding in God. Abide means to continue. If we abide in the Lord, it is a continual relationship. The Lord is my stay. That means he is my support, he is my protector, and he is my provider. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Psalms 18 and 18. Oh, yeah, things would try to prevent us from doing even what God calls us to do. And, oh, it said it was right in the day of my calamity. Well, things were upside down, everything, blah, blah, blah. But the Lord was my stay. We cannot fail if we abide in him. So we stand. That means, what does it mean? God will stand with us when we have done all that is required of us. We have a choice. We must walk the walk we talk. There's a scripture in Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I teach that in literally every class that I've ever taught. Ephesians, this armor, you put it on, just say it. You can put it on individually, each part of it. You can abide. You know, I don't put on my clothes and then throw them away before I ever get out the door. I abide in them. So when you put on the armor of God, abide in that armor so that you can withstand whatever comes against you. And having done all, you will stand. You will abide in him, and he will, our God, abide in us. Endure. Endure until the end, in spite of all persecution, unto the end. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew 10:22. Many times, especially, I would say in the prosperous part of America, we feel like that if we go to the store and maybe our favorite article that we were going to buy is not there, that we were really in a trial. This is really absurd, because God tells us here, you could be hated of all men for his name's sake. But there's an endurance that God is calling us that we can't do without the abiding presence of God. All right, I'm going to read it again. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Trust in God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never, ever, ever suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not allow anything to take us out of his abiding presence if we choose to be there. Psalms 55, verse 22. The last portion of this verse promises something. Did you notice it? You'll not be moved, no matter what comes against you or me. And that was my favorite psalm when I first got in the church. When back in those days, the congregation, we had books and we'd sing, but I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. And was I ever thrilled to see my son as he sang that beautiful song? Do we have consequences? Now, I'm not saying that we have to ever allow the enemy to beat on us, hurt us, bring up anything that we've ever done, our sin. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. And like I used the illustration, if the snow covers the ground, that's all you see is snow. When the blood covers our sin, that's all God sees. The blood covers our sin. But there are consequences. We do have consequences because of many of the things that we may have done while we were yet in sin. So if we choose to ignore the invitation to abide in Christ, if you don't, there's going to be consequences to that. If a man abide not in me as a branch. Okay, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it my way. Wait a minute. There's going to be consequences every time in every situation. I'm going to read the whole scripture because I've interjected two or three things. If a man abide, or a woman, you know, humanity, abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John 15:6. I put this in here, and I believe God really led me to do it, because sometimes we think that grace will allow us to not abide in the ways of God, in the Word of God, in the plan of God for our life. And we are to walk the walk we talk. We are to abide in the plan that our God has set forth for each of us. We must see, hear, and remember. Mark 8:18, having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? That's in Luke 6:39. So, I left the church one evening. It was after service, and I didn't stop. This was, it was horrible. I didn't stop to clean off. There was, like, moisture all over my windshield. And so just as I went onto the highway, the lights from the other cars, their headlights reflected some way so that my windshield was totally, absolutely, I could not see at all. I was totally blinded. So I missed the lane I was wanting to go into. And I actually crossed the median oncoming traffic. So the mercy of God stepped in. The cars were able to go around me on both sides. And my failure to clean the windshield, instead of costing me my life and possibly the life of others, was spared because of the mercy of God. But that's a miracle, and that's beautiful. But we do not want to walk in presumption. If technically that was presumptuous of me to not clean my windshield, but I wasn't doing it in a presumptuous way. It was done in absolute ignorance. And we do things as we live for God, and we think, oh, wow, that was not what I wanted to do. Or we see that we've caused a mess or caused confusion. But God will work with us. But he doesn't want us to choose the wrong way, but to be confident that when we abide in him, he's with us. And I've heard so many beautiful, wonderful testimonies of how God has spared people. Me, many times. I lost control, went off of an interstate one time. I was up on the third level of the Cloverleaf. I went all the way to the bottom of the next very bottom highway, and I was not injured, and no one was. That was a miracle. I don't want to do it again, though, I guarantee you. Okay, so the Holy Ghost dwells in us, and the light of the gospel is powerful. It's with us. It will shine forth when there's obstacles, just like the one I just described. We are responsible to let God's love shine through into the path of those in darkness. So sometimes just because someone does something that is horrible as what I did, we want to do our part to keep it from being a collision and causing all kinds of hurt and pain. Misunderstandings, all types of things can arise, but we can be that light. God's help, find a way. We're the lighthouse, and Jesus is the light that shines forth. Each day we face things that will trigger us, and I want to hope I have time to share this, because if you have, by chance, a pencil and paper now, I want you to write the acronym TRUTH, put T, then under that put R, under that put U, under that put T, under that put H. That word is truth. All of us, in every situation, even when we're abiding in God, we're going to be triggered. And triggered by that means that we're going to be upset. Something is going to, we don't understand it. It is taking our energy. It's just trouble, trouble, trouble. So we can use T for trouble and being triggered. Okay, the event happens and we begin to reason. Well, did they do that on purpose? I'm pretty upset about the way that they handled that at the store, or maybe at church, or at the doctor, or whatever. My neighbor, and they knew better than that. They must have done that just to make me feel bad. So I'm triggered and I'm reasoning, but in error. And if I do that, U is going to stand for unhealthy response. Well, I'm not going to say anything out loud, but I guarantee you the next time that I see whatever, I'll make them wish they'd never done that to me. And it begins to move in your heart, your mind. It separates you from love and joy and peace and long-suffering, which is the fruit of the Spirit. You did not have your armor on. You are in your own strength, in your own mind, and in your own will. And that is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Unhealthy response. But the truth, no any more information than I knew when I was triggered. I don't have any idea whether they meant to hurt me or whatever. But the truth is, I do have God. I have love that passes all understanding. I have the ability to return good for evil. I have within me the power of the Holy Ghost, which will counsel me and comfort me and make this trial a blessing. See? And all of a sudden, you're smiling and you're feeling so much better. And you, like my Well, Bill, you may go out and buy that person some pizza. And they know they lost if they were doing it on purpose, they lost the battle with the beast, ornery, because you've done something sweet. In the beginning of our introduction, I shared the story about Sister Kaiser with the little woolly worm. And she literally thought it was a spider when she knocked the little woolly worm down to the ground, and it was just a miracle she didn't kill it. And she felt so bad. But God used that because she would had been hurt in a church situation. And because she knew she didn't want to hurt the little woolly worm, she thought, well, maybe they didn't mean to hurt me. Maybe it was, and she began to change her way of looking at the situation, turning it back over to God, and it ended in a beautiful way. So even though there's parts of this story in our lives that really are very unpleasant, God can turn it into something beautiful. He said he came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. He can take a life that is shattered and make it beautiful. Take the ashes of our life, beautiful. Beauty from ashes. God can do anything but fail. So let's abide in that presence. Okay, there's a song, and I know anyone that just about has been in church is going to remember, Let Us Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Abiding in that presence makes it right. Oh, I may have doubts and fears, and my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend that watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, and he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. That was written by Clevet Derricks, and I didn't know that until, because I don't think anybody had ever shared that with me. When God says that his grace is sufficient for whatever we go through, see, the flesh will say, oh, I can't do this. I can't go on. Then you stop, and you abide in the word of God that says, my grace is sufficient. Whose grace? The grace of God. It is not limited. That's in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Also in Psalms 91:15. It says, the flesh will always say that they can't. And the word of God will always say, oh, yes, you can. Because God grants us the grace and the wisdom, the comfort and the consolation. So, yep, the flesh is weak. And the for sure, my flesh has a tendency to, if I haven't prayed and I haven't sought the Lord and I haven't been in that abiding presence with him, my flesh will be what I'll deal with until it won't be necessarily the enemy or somebody else. It's my flesh, my very own. And I must cover it with the blood of Jesus, with prayer, fasting if God calls me to do it, staying in his word and reading it until you feel like you're connected to the Lord. If you're abiding, you're connected. It's a difference than just, well, I'll do my devotion today. And I know there are times that there are so many responsibilities that we don't really truly have the time. But it's very dangerous to assume to put anything before we put God first in our life. That was from him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added. So that's pretty good, isn't it? To seek him first. There was a case. I'll read the scripture in Kings, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and iron did swim. Now, what that's referring to, that this they had borrowed this tool. It had gone into the water. They had to get it back. And so when the man of God threw this, what he did by throwing the stick, it was, I think, it's a replica of the cross. But he cut down a stick, cast it in the water, and then it did swim. Well, I want to share with you a beautiful story that's probably wow, 50-something years ago, my brother's son came to visit us when we were on the farm, and we had church right there, and we wasn't close to another church when we were on the farm, so we had church in our home. My daughter would play the tambourine. My son would, he could pick up a rub board, scrub board, and play that. I would teach. It was just, the presence of God was beautiful. And so he was there, and I was teaching on this particular scripture about the iron floating, and it really touched Billy's heart. That was Little Bill. I called him Little Bill, and because I guess he was little, and my brother being the father, and his name was Bill also. And it stuck with him, and when he left, right now he is a worker. He drives a church bus. One of his daughters is called to be a missionary. But it was so powerful to have that abiding presence of God in the home. You don't have to just think, well, I'll go to church or I'll go to a prayer meeting. Those are wonderful. I'll go to Sunday school. That's wonderful. I'll go to a youth group. Those are wonderful. But in your home, have that abiding presence of God that you can pray, you can witness, you can answer the phone, and somebody be in a terrible struggle, and you are there in your home. You're not watching something you shouldn't watch, involved in something you shouldn't be involved in. Your home is sanctified unto the Lord. It is part of the abiding presence of God, and we really enjoyed that in our home, especially at the farm. It seemed like it was so outstanding. And then when people come to your home, they'll feel that. They'll know that. And they'll be blessed by it also. And it sets a desire for them to have it in their home. And I did, in situations, invite people that had known me before I came to the Lord. And when they saw and felt what God was doing in my home, in with the children, they were convicted of how they were living. They laid aside the addictions, whatever, came to church and were beautifully saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now, I never want to do a program that I don't bring that out, that was what God led us to, his abiding presence. To repent of our sins means to turn. Now, this is what the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in one verse. Repent, turn, be baptized in the name of Jesus, because there's not any other way. And it will remit or wash away your sin, and you will be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's God's Spirit dwelling within us. And that is his plan, to abide with us. The psalmist David, and I'll read this quite a bit of it, or probably all of it here, if it's in this on this page. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, here's that word, under the shadow of the Almighty. I think I'll read the rest of it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Oh, I love that. My refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Psalms 91. Think about that. Abide. Abide with him. That secret place of the Most High God. Stay with him. Trust him. He will deliver us from every snare, everything that comes our way, and he will cover us. I've told this story, but it just comes to me so clearly. In children's church and other children's classes, I have it's a booklet and it's pictures, and it shows this. It was a true story about a horrible prairie fire, and it showed a man trying to make sure that the fire didn't get to the barn and get to different places, to his home. And there was a mother hen out in the field, and she began to call, and the little chicks got up underneath her wings. And so later, after the fire was out, the farmer went out and he saw this bundle. He didn't know what it was, but when he pushed it over, he realized it was the mother hen. But all the little chickens, all the little chickies, they ran out totally safe. And God is calling us right now. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know, but we know who holds the future. And he wants us to abide in him, into his power, his presence, and his love. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song. Enjoy this so much tonight. And so now I will see if Sister Starla wants to come back, or maybe Wild Bill is ready, and whoever would like to say something. So Sister Starla, are you ready?
I am. That was beautiful, and I so enjoyed it. Wild Bill will be here in a few minutes. God is so good, and the miracles that he has done in your life are such a testimony to your walk with him. And I've so enjoyed you sharing. I've learned so much. And I've just really enjoyed it.
And it's so sweet of you to say that. You are a prayer warrior, aren't you? You pray for me. And I love you for that.
I do
so
pray
much.
For you. I do.
I know I'm
a blessing for a long, long time.
That's so thoughtful. So very, very thoughtful. They say anybody that makes you pray, you know, that's I'm a blessing. And I know y'all do, because every time I speak with you, and we had a miracle this week with little Jordan, even though it was not perfect as far as he did have to go through something, but God brought him through it, and we're just so thankful for that. I know when you shared with me that he had injured himself, the Spirit of God moved upon me with such an impact, and I called and put the prayer request on our prayer chain. And I'm so thankful that you let me know about that. Have you, we still have a good report about him getting better with it? Are you muted?
They actually took him to the Children's Hospital in Little Rock, and the bone has moved ever so slightly, and they were given the choice to have surgery today and put pins in it or wait a week to see if, you know, if it had moved anymore. If it moves anymore, they will have to do surgery. But we serve an awesome God, and he did it once, and he can do it again. And I just claim it in Jesus' name, his total healing.
Amen. I do. And I feel like that God has already done something, you know, supernaturally miraculous, that, you know, we sometimes think if it doesn't do a certain way, that God hasn't moved. But I really agree with you that God has moved. And I love your faith, and you and Wild Bill both have such a you abide in the Lord. I mean, it's not been easy. You know, Wild Bill had the wreck, and you had your injury, but you've come. I've never heard you complain, or ever heard you, you know, like you would back up on God or anything like that. It's It's abiding in him and turning to him, because as I hope I really brought that out in this chapter, that does not mean that we will not suffer, that there will not be those things in our life that we do not understand. It means that God will bring us through it. And if he brings us to it, he will bring us through it. And then we have eternity with him. We have so many historical accounts of those that were literally gave their life for the word of God. And some, the Bible says, would not even receive deliverance. They wanted the greater reward. So they had a glimpse of something that we need to focus on, and that's life forever and ever with our God. And so I am looking forward to what Wild Bill's going to say, because it just makes me so happy when people say, well, now I really enjoyed what you said, Miss Lively or Sister Lively, but when Wild Bill got up, he said, what he said was really what I need to hear. Preacher in him, I'm not sure that's what it is. But it's wonderful. We had such a wonderful service tonight at church about the orphans, and there's so many. Is Wobby with us?
Yes, he is.
You're going to quit bragging on me a moment. I'll get my head in this truck.
That's all true.
It's funny, when you talk about this stuff, I realize that people don't have the reference of it. You talk about the rub board, and I'm sure there's some people like, how in the world can there be something spiritual about playing a rub board in church? But it's at that same church, we had kids that played spoons. We had people that played tambourines. We had someone who played concert cymbals. The kick drum to a set of drums that I'd gotten from a boy in church. The pastor put a guitar strap on that and used to beat on it with a tambourine. And everything was in that church was established for worship. And you talk about abiding in God when you understand that he inhabits the praise of his people. You know, you're not going to, don't expect to get something from God if you're sitting back there with your arms crossed and like, you know, preacher, move me if you can. That's not how it works. And the thing where she was talking about me singing the song, I Shall Not Be Moved, that's really pretty funny. I had a couple of friends that lived in my subdivision that didn't even go to church with us, but they went to church with us, and we formed a trio. I was like 8 years old, and we were so good. I mean, it was just really so good that when the piano player, the organist, when she went to play the intro, we started singing right then. We didn't wait for the music to start. But only a mother could be blessed by something like that. I think all you parents can relate to that. But I do appreciate the fact that, you know, she remembers those things. And she don't tell you about the time that people were telling her there was kids throwing rocks out in the parking lot. And she went out there and thought, surely not my kid. And there I was out there throwing rocks in the parking lot. Or she don't tell about the time that I was cutting grass at the church and needed to adjust the mower. And I don't know, I was only like 9 or 10 years old, and I didn't have enough sense. When I turned the lawnmower off, I stuck my hand up under it to get a grip to adjust the wheel, and the blade come around and almost whacked two of my fingers off and messed up my fingernail on one finger. It wasn't all just Wild Bill being just the angel that she portrays it to be, which really speaks to this thing about abiding, because it's fantastic if you're abiding in God. But there's going to be times in your life, because the Bible lets us know we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And even when you're walking with God, even when you know better, you're going to do stupid stuff. Now, Blog Talk Mom has been doing this so much, she don't have any of these things probably to come back on, but I can't tell you how many times I have let something cause me to lose my temper, and then I get to running off the mouth, and then I get conviction, and I have to go and apologize to those people and tell them that I'm sorry, which I hate, and I have to apologize to God, because I know that what I did didn't show that I had love for my fellow man as I love myself, for sure. And it didn't show the Spirit of God working within me. So, but the great thing about when you're abiding in God and everything and you're locked in, that puts you on a direct connection for the blessings of God. Now, like Mom and Starla was talking about, it's not always the way that you think it's going to be, and it's not even always the way that you want it to be, but you're in connection with God, and you have to have trust, and you have to have faith in that. And when you do, that's where all of a sudden things happen that blow you away and shock you. That thing where you was talking about me buying pizza for people, we really couldn't afford, with all the things that were going on in our lives, to be buying pizza for anyone. We needed to buy it for ourselves. But in that situation, I was going to, for all the people that had helped me with work, I was wanting to throw them a pizza party for all the things they did, and several of the guys took up money for me. And so that was just sort of my way of saying thank you before I was able to go back to work from a work comp injury where I'd had an accident. And I found out that my boss, who cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars and was a thorn in my side every day during the time I was there doing the work comp, and he did everything he could to try to, I don't know what, I think he tried to provoke me to do something wrong. And the mercy and the grace of God, I saw what he was doing. I was aware of what he was doing. God let me see through it, and he granted me a peace in that process. And I have to be honest and say that part of that peace of that process was because I got a praying wife. That thing where you dwell with Jesus and you're hooked together and that connection is there, and the Holy Ghost comes along beside you, that paraclete that comes along to give you reinforcement and strength, that doesn't always come through you. Sometimes when you're in that position, you can actually stand in the gap for somebody else. And that's so important to understand, that it's not just about me, myself, and I, but I'm called to stand in the gap for the weaker brother or the weaker sister, not to condemn them, not to put them down, not to judge them, to be there to stand in the gap for them. It's a whole lot easier to judge them and say, man, I can see how stupid you were. You know, you put yourself in this situation and, you know, want to sit there and think about that, but that's not what we're called to do. And so it's harder when you see people that are doing things to where they're cursing themselves to want to pray for someone. But that's one of those things that's where the love of God came in, and God gave me a love for my boss, and I found out that he was going to be out of town the week that I was planning on doing this, and so I moved it up for a day that he was there, and then he wanted to put on this big show in front of everybody like he was my buddy, and he went to shake my hand, and I shook his hand, but then I grabbed him and hugged him. And I'm a pretty good-sized fella, so it wasn't like he could get away. And he was a pretty good-sized fella, too. So, but you can see where the Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on someone, and that's not why I did it. But that scripture came to mind when I sit there and saw his countenance, and everyone there saw how he felt so humiliated because everyone knew what he had been doing behind the scenes that was there. And it's just funny how God will intervene on something like that. One of the things that Blog Talk Mom was talking about, feelings, I was reminded of John F. Kennedy's son, how he died in that tragic plane accident. And I had a friend of mine who was a pilot, and before it came out, before they found the black box, he told me what had happened. When you're sitting in the seat of an airplane and you're in clouds or fog or it's dark, you can't tell whether you're going up or you can't tell when you're going down. What you feel in the seat will not tell you which is which. And so he was in fog at night. You know the story. He was out on the ocean. He was trying to come in. And so he was getting all of his warnings on his instruments, letting him know that he was getting low. And so what he did was he thought he was pulling the plane up, but instead he nosedived it into the ocean at full speed. He kept giving it more power and more speed to try to get altitude, and he didn't trust his instruments. And that's the thing, that you have to trust God. Even though the signs that you see around you is not what you're wanting to see, even though everything coming your way appears to be negative and something life-changing to your life, you have to be aware that God sees what you don't see, and he knows what you don't know. And he tells us that all things will work together for our good, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. But it's hard to trust that when you feel like you've been cut with 1,000 sword thrusts, and when you feel like everybody doesn't understand what you're going through, and you feel like heaven is brass and your prayers don't seem to be going but like about 6 inches off the ground and crashing back down. That's going to happen in life. And so you have to understand you can't go by what you feel. You got to trust God. You got to trust him according to his word, because he will not deny himself. He lets us know that. He is exactly what the word of God says that he is. And Blog Talk Mom brought that out about how that those that don't dwell within God, how that they're going to be cast away and burned. But that's a judgment. I want everyone and anyone that in your life right now, you may not be connected to God. You may be running from God. You may just be thinking about having a good time. Hey, I've been there and done that. And I can tell you that somewhere you're going to hit a wall on that dead-end road running about 90 miles an hour, and the only thing that's going to be a security for you is going to be the things that you know about Jesus. It's going to be the relationship of Jesus. And even though you're not dwelling with him and you're not, the connection and the relationship is not there, he still loves you. He loves you with a love that he died for your sins the same time he died for mine, and he died for Blog Talk Moms, and he died for Starla. And I believe with all my heart that at any time, that no matter how low things get, and you could be drunk and just get that bawling spirit, you know, like, woe is me. But if you call on the name of the Lord and you reach out to him with a broken and contrite spirit, he will respond. He let us know that he cannot respond. He cannot hold himself back. He's going to be there to be a help for you. And so for you that's not doing those things, don't think, well, that's not me, so I got no hope. No, you're alive, and God is alive, and he's still performing all the things that he said he's going to perform in the lives of people. It's not his will that any should perish. So in knowing that, he is still on your side even when you're not on his side. He's still in your corner reaching out saying, hey, come as you are. You don't have to worry about this is an excuse the devil tries to put in your mind. Well, as soon as I can quit smoking, or as soon as I can quit doing drugs, or as soon as I quit carousing around, you know, with women and things, you know, then I'm going to come to God. Brother, sister, it ain't going to happen. I'm here to tell you that if you hadn't done it before, you can't do it on your own now. Just because you reach out to God, that's not an instant thing. You still have to go through process of dealing with the things that are in your life. There is still an accountability. If you cut yourself, you're going to bleed. And if you're addicted to drugs and you've got all the things that go along in your life, or the habit that's formed in your mind where you got this addiction and you have to have it, you feel like you're going to die without it, the physical addiction that's in your body to where it starts having withdrawals when you don't have it, all those things are real. I have witnessed a young man come to church one time because a pretty girl in a Pentecostal church invited him to come, and he went to the altar to pray, and this man was high, and he was drunk, and God sobered him up at the altar, and he repented of his sins, and I saw him receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and he is now a Pentecostal preacher. So I'm not saying that God can't make changes on an instant level, but he's always going to let you go through process. You really have to have a sorrow in the things that you've done. You got to have a conviction to let you know this was bad. I brought this on myself. Didn't nobody do this to me. I'm responsible. I'm accountable. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm reaching out to you. I need you to help me. And guess what? He will help you. But it's not going to be easy. And the bad thing about this, and hear me well, if you go to God and he delivers you from something, and you turn back to it, it's not going to be the same relationship with God. It's not going to be the same process when you go back to him, because the addiction and the curse of sin is going to come in, and it's going to do everything it can to kill you. Satan has one agenda. He's got this mindset. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's it, kill, steal, and destroy. kill, steal, and destroy. He does not love you. He does not care you. He don't want you to have a good time. He wants to kill you, steal the things of God from you, and he wants to destroy your life. And so if you turn away from those things, I have seen people that God delivered them from smoking, and they came back to God, but it wasn't an instant thing just to throw that pack of cigarettes and that lighter away. They had to go through a process, and some people never was delivered like they had been before. And so I'm not saying these things to be mean to you. I'm trying to give you spiritual warning here that God does have an accountability for sin. And once you go back to him, he lets us know that the one that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom. You have to be born again of the water and the spirit. Yeah, you're a baby when you first came into living for God. But, honey, child, I'm here to tell you that that's not the end. That's not the finish line. That's not the end of your race. You have a life to live, and you're going to have tests, and you're going to have trials, and life is going to knock you down, and it's going to try to chew you up and spit you out. But it's how you trust God and how you stand and how you let God use those things to purify you, and you'll have a choice. Will I run from God and say, well, if this is what it means living for God, I don't want no part of it. Or will you let it make you closer to God than you've ever been before? Will you cry out to him and trust him and like, Lord, I don't know the answer. Lord, I know what I would like to see happen. I'm facing some of those same things right now, and I try to talk to Starla about it. She's like, where's your faith? And I'm like, well, I'm speaking in reality. But even then, sometimes we can speak bad things into existence the same way we can speak the power of God into existence. I heard someone tell me one time that you can't speak for God. You can't, you know, you can't claim something from God, and then like he's going to have to do it. That don't work that way. Well, that's faith. When I speak of things that are not as though they are, I'm not trying to do anything that God didn't tell me to do. He let us know that without faith, we can't even please him. But faith not activated is the same thing as not having faith. So, Blog Talk Mom, I thoroughly enjoy every chapter of this. What a lot of people don't realize is that this was, a lot of these things in her life is many, many years ago. But what she's trying to share with you is even though those things were things that happened then that she wrote in this book, that God can refresh those things to your heart. He can refresh those things to your mind. And, man, what a landmark to look back at things that were problems to you before and say, whoo. God, look where you brought me now. Man, look at all the things that I have overcome through the power of the Holy Ghost and the blood of the Lamb. You would say, what a testimony to look back and say, yeah, I had some issues there. But, you know, in Blog Talk Mom, she's at the place in her walk with God that she don't have issues anymore. I have to confess my issues have issues sometimes. But, you know, just the example of what you live, and it's not just what you talk, it's how you live. And the anointing when you pray and when you speak. And I've shared with a lot of people that I'd call my mama and say, Mama, I've messed up and I'm in trouble. And all of a sudden she starts praying and she starts speaking in tongues. And in the background I'd hear, attention, Walmart shoppers. You know, when your children are in trouble, that standing in the gap for people, it should be a priority no matter where you are and what's going on, to know that it's God that's going to be the one that makes the difference. Mom could have gave me some reassuring words and patted me on the back of the head and said, oh, that's okay, you'll do better next time. Or she could have been like my grandma and said, well, you can't help it, you're stupid. But instead, she prayed for me. And she got hold of God for me. She grabbed hold of the horns of the altar and said, God, I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. You know, he may be big and he may be doing things that I know is not pleasing to you, but I'm not letting go. I'm hanging on to the promise you gave me for him and my daughter when many, many years ago. And so those are the things that we all need to be doing. You know, this thing with Jordan, I don't understand, you know, why, how in the world you could break one arm and then turn around and break the other arm, you know, in the same week. I've heard of being accident prone and everything, but this kid, he's an athlete. He plays basketball. And, you know, but, you know, this things happened. But when he went to the doctor with the one arm, they said they could find no fracture. And just a week before that, the fracture was visible on x-ray. So God did move, even though we're looking at some other issues here with this wrist on the other hand. But I think sometimes we need to remember to praise God for what he's done and then thank him in faith for what we're looking for him to do, and then just let God be God. So Blog Talk Mom, that's all I had to add to what you had tonight, and I don't feel like I'm the icing on the cake. I feel like that you serve a three-course meal, and basically I'm just sort of the guy making the toast and thanking the people that prepared the meal. But thank you so much for being who you are in my life.
Well, I love you very much, and this is a fellowship time with the family. I feel that, and it's very, very encouraging. The Lord is, times I've been away from the family, it seems like that's been a directive for about 20 years, but at the same time, I'm connected on this broadcast in a work for God. You know, it's like we're all united to proclaim God's word. And this story about the woolly worm, there are so many beautiful comparisons, and we've touched on it in different chapters. But that little caterpillar, he can be up to six times he has to get rid of the outer part of the skin, almost all of it. He has to eat it himself. Then he goes to the next size. And this is what we've talked about tonight. You've got to want to abide with God. You've got to choose. He's given us the power to do it through his spirit. He's given us his blood, his word, but we've got to want it. We've got to choose it. And that doesn't mean we won't get discouraged. There won't be times that we'll, you know, feel the battle all around us. And he gives us examples. With Joseph, I was brought out again tonight in our service, that the story of Joseph, it doesn't say that he did anything wrong. Some people try to say that he was being a smart aleck to his brothers about the beautiful robe that he has or the dreams that he had, or coat, I mean. But I don't see that. I mean, he was thrilled about it, but I don't see that. And it didn't show up when he was put in prison for years, when he was accused of things he didn't do, when his brothers were so mean to him and just sold him into slavery. And all of that tells you about that and what he did, to let you know that you may be going through something that nobody else is going through. But abide in the presence of God and in his promises and in his love. Psalms 119, 114, know, and you can say this right along with David, Lord, you're my hiding place. You're my shield. And I'm hoping in your word, Lord. And again, in Psalms 118 and 5, David said, I called upon the Lord in my distress. I called, didn't say that he wouldn't have distress, or, I mean, think of that word, distress. Sounds really bad. But he called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered him. The word to the scripture says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. That place for all of us is at the very foot of the throne of God, where we can absolutely be covered. Remember in the Old Testament how he sent the cloud when the sun was beating down on the Israelites, and when they were going through the desert, that cloud covered them and protected them, the light at night. God took care of them. He was with them. He didn't leave them. He's not going to leave us. Maybe the heat of the battle is really strong. Maybe this cold and the darkness of night of what you're going through. But God's there, and he's here. He's here right now. Lord, we give every part of this, every scripture, every minute to your power and your love. Lord, pour out your spirit, dear God, upon every soul that would hear these scriptures, that you are their hiding place and they can abide in your love and care. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you very much. I've enjoyed it and look forward to next week.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom, so much. We want to thank all of our listeners, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.